Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Hello?
Dolls?
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye to November.
I want to release an episode that literally is just hello, goodbye, and then that's it.
We've talked about that before. I think it would actually be our most listened to episode.
Downloads would go through the roof.
If someone sees a 10-second episode, they're like, that's the only thing
I'll... People would be like, you have to listen to this podcast episode. It's fucking incredible. And
I wanna,
it's 10 seconds.
I want to thank everyone for making Sexy Unique Pod their top Spotify listen of the year.
I want that podcast episode to chart, like climb the Apple charts and be number one.
We've gotten some amazing messages where people are showing off that we are their number one. And my most favorite one was Yolanda Pfister. We were his number two most listened to.
Thank God.
And then his number three is Joe Rogan. And he went, no, I swear, I just listened to the UFO episodes.
It's fine.
I know. I mean, what are you going to do?
Well, he has some good episodes.
Also, Yolanda Pfister can do whatever she wants.
Guess what? Sometimes you just need to listen to Joe Rogan. I get it. He's the fucking number one podcast in the world for a reason.
I've never actually, and I'm not just saying this.
You've never actually listened?
I've seen clips on Twitter, but I've never actually listened to his pod.
Well, I think...
I'm not just saying that to be like...
I think most people haven't, and they just get on some sort of hate train because everyone else is like, he's so blah, blah, blah. But I actually listened to like a few episodes because I was like, damn, this guy sounds like fucking alt-right neo-Nazi. If you like follow certain people online, you're like, he is the second coming of Hades himself. And I listened and I was like, I don't understand what people are so mad about.
Well, the only thing that makes me mad is that his episodes are like, seem to be like 7 hours long. And I'm like, I'm not doing that. So that's like where I draw the line at over 2 hours.
But if you have a long drive or like a long stint in the kitchen or cleaning or like a task.
In the clink.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then a 2 hour plus episode comes in handy.
Well, I openly... listen to my problematic king, Tim Dillon. So that's he's probably my most listened to pod of the year. I haven't checked.
Yeah, definitely.
He's
Dillon Nation.
No one funnier. Dillon Nation. Haven't seen Thanksgiving yet.
Oh, I saw it.
Is it fun?
It was fun, yeah.
It's Eli Roth, right?
Mm-hmm. It's really like over the top, campy, blood and gore. I did have a nightmare about one part of it.
What's
the
part?
Following night.
Spoiler.
This is a spoiler alert, but they bake a woman like a Thanksgiving turkey and then they like serve her baked body on a platter.
Whomst?
One of the people.
Oh my God, that's really scary.
I know. And I had a nightmare that her like baked body was crawling around, and that really shook me.
That's really, I get really triggered. I'm starting to get, I don't like on Thanksgiving, I was thinking about how they pardon a turkey at the White House.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's cruel. It's a joke. It's a slap in the face to all the other turkeys.
To like trot animals out.
Just only one is spared massacre.
Out of like all the turkeys?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't like that kind of, that is very cannibal cop coded to me. Which, remember that story about the cop in New York who
obviously.
Truly, I still have, like, if I even hear that those two words together, my stomach drops. I get really freaked out because of what he was wanting to do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, literally bake women in the oven and bake, like, put them in a stew. That cannibal stuff, I can't deal with.
Well, then I would avoid Thanksgiving.
Well, I will certainly see it because Addison Rae is in it and Tim Dillon.
She's really good and he's really good.
Okay, I'm ready.
Okay. It's just like,
and it takes place in Plymouth?
Yeah. Okay. And it's a real takedown of massholes, which I like. Like, it's making fun of, like, Massachusetts people.
Well, he's from there.
A good ribbing.
Eli.
I love that.
And it's making fun of, like, America, right?
Kind of, but it's also just, like, a fucking Thanksgiving-themed horror movie.
That is funny, because I remember watching that trailer in Grindhouse and being like, this is the funniest thing ever, that fake trailer. That's where it comes from. Did you know that?
Oh, my God, yeah.
I mean, this is, like, 15 years ago now, but that was... This is what that is.
I'm happy about that.
I think Eli might have even directed the fake trailer in the Grindhouse. So. But I remember being, like... crying laughing as a teen watching that and being like, this needs to be a movie.
Mm-hmm. Well, now guess what, your dreams have come true.
Should we recap Mother God a little?
Yeah,
the final one.
I was just gonna say, like, I'm really devastated that I haven't seen Napoleon yet.
I haven't either.
Like, I really want to see Napoleon.
I'm going
back and
forth.
No one wants to see Napoleon with me, and this has been my biggest struggle this Thanksgiving holiday.
My favorite thing about Napoleon around LA is the billboards that the writer somehow got his name, like, in the biggest font on the whole thing. David Sarpa. And I was like...
Work.
Good for their lawyers.
Mm-hmm. They really got off their ass, and someone said, we're going to put the big font on the billboards for you, Mr. Scarpa.
Or we will sue... Ridley Scott.
I just really am dying to see Napoleon, but I, like, am having a hard time bringing myself to go it alone.
How long is it? Like 4 hours?
No. I'm sure it's like 2+. I can handle that. Like, I'm literally a Joaquin Phoenix super fan.
You are.
I'm
biding my time till Folie à Deux with him. I need to, like, save up for that because that's going to be my movie.
Yeah. I just am like, I'll watch anything he does. Like, I'd watch him, like, lick a wall for 2 hours.
Yeah.
So it probably will be a solo journey after everything's said and done, which is fine.
Yeah. I would pay to be in the wall watching Joaquin and Rooney just talk in their home.
Yeah. I don't have much of an interest in their, like, personal life.
I just want to see for, like, an hour what they are like together.
It seems kind of serious.
I think they're very intense, and they talk about intense things at all times.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't think they're lolling.
I don't think there's many lols.
No,
and that scares me. Like, to be around just very serious people who, like, don't loll is actually a fate worse than death at times.
Well, then they're perfect for each other.
Yeah, well, definitely. I mean, like, non-lollers should only procreate, mate, and partner with other non-lollers and take everyone off the table for the lollers.
Which is probably why Joaquin and Gaga, it seems like they worked well together, because she's my queen, and she lolls at times, but she's mostly very intense.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he liked that probably.
She's a serious Sally.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but we'll see.
Well, I hope that you're not deprived of Napoleon.
The good news is that I have all the agency in the world and can go see it at any given time.
The good news is there's a movie theater.
The good news is I might even just go see it tonight. It's just like the AMC Grove solo journey of it all. Actually, I know someone who would probably go see it with me, so never mind. Feel bad for me.
Well, I don't.
If anyone was feeling really bad for me and sad just now, just realize that I just realized how I'm going to solve this problem, and I'm gonna figure out how to see Napoleon, and I do have someone I can reach out to who will likely see it. And if doesn't happen, hold please. If that doesn't happen, then I will figure out a way to see it myself. So actually, crisis averted.
It's giving I have a girlfriend at summer camp.
Mm-hmm.
It's giving
George Glass.
Mm-hmm. It's giving you walking into Landmark Theater with
2 tickets. I guess they didn't show up.
Oh, they're here. They're coming. They're coming late.
Can I leave this with you? And if they show up, just pass them in.
They'll be here soon. It's under my name.
Mm-hmm.
No, I hope you find that. I'm dying to see Anatomy of a Fall. And
well, you better get into it.
The Zone of Interest. No, it hasn't.
Anatomy of a Fall?
Has it?
Yes.
Oh, it's in theaters?
Doll, that's been
in
theaters.
I thought it was coming out in December.
It might be out now because I saw it when it was, like, in.
You liked it, right?
Oh, I loved it.
Okay. And Zone of Interest.
Yeah.
Need it.
Tony's schizophrenia is off the charts today.
Doll. Puppy.
That's enough.
Look at that pig. I have to say, I had a moment yesterday. I was listening to a podcast, and this guy was talking about like the decimation of like animal life. Talk about no lols.
What do you mean? Like extinction?
Yeah, just talking about like the animal farm, like factory farm industrial complex. And I'm like, I can't not have meat. I love it. Like I need protein for meat. But when I hear people talk about it, I immediately want to like drive my car into a building and like be vegan. Like I get such anxiety, and I feel so devastated when I hear
it's horrifying.
The line between like my threshold is like, if someone even mentions pig in a farm, I immediately go, because I just like, I'm such a fucking weak link. I can't deal with like what
I can't deal with the slaughter.
I can't deal with the slaughter and just like the factory farms and the slaughterhouses and like corralling them, and like it's like, sometimes I'm like, all signs point to vegan for me, but I'll never do it.
Yeah.
And it like depress, like that's why I was thinking about that, like on Thanksgiving, like with turkeys and stuff. It's like, I'm so sensitive to it, but like, I'm not going to not contribute to it. Mm-hmm. I know it's my truth. It's horrible, but like, I'm just going to live with it.
Yeah. Well, welcome.
No, I know.
I had this moment like probably 5 or 6 years ago where I read something, like really looked into it.
Yeah.
Mostly just like the negative effects on climate that all of the factory farming has. Like
the emissions and stuff.
Yeah. And it really stressed me out. And then I was like, well, what am I going to do?
Yeah.
And
you kind
I was
of,
like, I'm not going to do anything.
No, that's exactly what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Which is nothing. But.
But everyone must go through that realization period at some point in their life. Mm-hmm. So. Congratulate. What if like streamers came down? I push a button. It's like, you had the factory farming realization.
It's only taken 34 years.
They go, Carrie. Like a news truck pulls up. A woman gets out. She goes, all right, set camera. Okay. 3, 2, 1. I'm Kaylee Lowell here today with ABC News, where Carrie O'Donnell has recently learned
like,
about factory farming. They go, Carrie,
yes.
What do you think you're going to do now that you know all the pros and cons of factory farming? Have you made your decision?
I have.
And what is that going to be?
To do nothing.
Incredible. Another person who has decided to do nothing. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
And then they just pack up and leave.
Yeah. And I get a ribbon.
Yeah. I mean.
Just the way it is.
What are you supposed to do? Just eat nut cheeses?
No, fuck no. I'm not. Speaking of vegan.
We need to talk about Mother God,
this
final chapter.
This is the final chapter. Again, this is a spoiler if you haven't listened. Just fast forward to when we recap. But
I'm really sad that it's over.
I am surprised that it was only 3 episodes.
I could have watched. I need a spinoff episode of every single cult member, their upbringing, their path to Mother God's cult, and like what they're up to now. Like they each need 3 episodes.
Was it not so perfect that within a year all of them had completely disbanded and like did their own thing? Like it
well,
was
they're
so
doing their own things.
No, I know, but I'm saying it's so fitting. It's such an it's like typical, you
yeah,
know
but
what I mean?
They don't have Mother God to like.
No, I know, it's sad. It's just like she was the only thing keeping them in that.
She's the tie that binds.
I want a spinoff of Father God and Father Multiverse. I love their like basically platonic gay life partnership together in Wisconsin.
Do you think that they fuck every once in a while?
Maybe.
I think so.
I think that they fucked in front of each other.
Definitely.
With Mother. And I think they maybe like stroke together.
I think they have sex every once in a while.
But it's like not gay. It's like father. It's like father son
bonding.
It's father
son incest sex.
I think that they really like, I think they were really the truest love story of the whole thing was like they found each other and you would think that they would have the most contentious relationship, but they were actually at the end, it was like this beautiful like male love for each other.
Yeah. Holly vibes.
I did love that Holly, AKA Ashley, reunited with her Bostonian mother.
Yeah.
I thought that was sweet.
Her mullet mom.
I think that scene at the end when she's talking to her mom and she was talking about how much she misses Mother God, I think she was actually talking about Earth Mother.
Yes and no. I think that she probably really does miss Mother God and misses the person who gave her life so much meaning. And that was like a really, that was like her best friend.
My favorite moment was when she goes live and only 7 people are watching and she's like, God damn it, only 7. I was like, that's me.
Yeah, I was really thrown by her lack of engagement for like how much live streaming they were doing and like how chronically online they truly were. Their lack of engagement was earth-shattering.
But here's my like kind of,
they needed a producer to really like streamline their content and like focus on audience engagement.
Michael/Miguel was not that.
No, he was just like an embezzler.
He was a thief. I need to say though, like, here's my little like hot take is like, she, if you think about it, she did sort of die for all of us. And in her death, she ended up seeing the fruits of her labor post-death, but now she is world known and she got what she wanted in death. And she died basically with humiliating social media engagement. she literally turned gray blue and turned into the dumpster monster from Mulholland Drive.
Worse.
And like rotted her fucking face and body from outside from into inside, only to die a horrible death. But now she's like on HBO Max. She's never been more famous.
So
I'm like, she kind of did die for our sins. She was
mother
was a martyr.
Something I think that
she died for the likes, but and there were no likes to be found.
She got fame post death,
as many do.
I don't know if an HBO like docuseries was what she was ideally craving.
No, I think she was craving like,
but at least something happened. It was not in vain. My hot take is that I want like all my friends to ride as hard for me as they rode for Mother God.
My favorite was when she was. Okay, not my, I mean, when they go to Hawaii and she's just drinking Mai Tais and
loving life.
And then when she declares herself Pele, which is like the most sacred of Hawaiian gods, like, bitch, you have to be
really, really fucked up to get like all the Hawaiians to band together to run you off of their island.
To throw things at you
and literally run you out of town. Like, you really have to piss some people off.
Because yeah.
Especially Kauai is a very like kooky live and let live type of vibe.
No,
You don't get to come. You're blue bony ass up in Kauai. Call yourself Pele and like live to see the day.
No, she had to go.
She simply had to go.
But that was like, and I love when they're shouting, like, of course there were some like loud white women being like taking the soapbox away from the actual like native Hawaiians, but she, when they're screaming at her house, you just hear her, you don't see her, but you hear her like a clip of her going, God damn it, I'm just getting fucking fucked. I was like, fuck. I like relate. Damn it.
She could have used a little clarity.
She
could have sobered up and gotten a little clarity and maybe like a business coach or a strategy coach to like help her.
A crisis.
She needed crisis PR.
She needed like Raquel's PR people.
You can't just like go be calling yourself Pele when people hate you. You gotta read the room a little bit. Like a good cult leader reads the room a bit and pivots.
Come up with your own god. Don't take like an actual god. I think
you can't do it to like indigenous people on their own land.
No, whose land has been like literally like pillaged by white people.
If you're going to like Hawaii and you want to claim like another god, you should be claiming that you're like Allah, like somewhere that doesn't like piss them off, but would definitely piss other people off. But you're not in those other people's zones. So you can be that, but be like, don't worry it. Whatever you think, I'm not Pele.
I think too that she could have been saved in Hawaii. Like, I think if she'd stayed in Hawaii, she might have gotten better. No?
Maybe. I mean, if
it's pretty wild that she was literally poisoning herself with silver. Like, it's that's just.
But she's pretty cooked, like, from booze. I mean, I don't know how you bounce back from degenerative liver failure.
It was sad that at the end, all she wanted was her family.
Like,
her real family.
You do have to. I think if you start to show signs of fatty liver, like, you can reverse it if you stop drinking. But once it gets to, like, a certain stage, I'm pretty sure you're just then, like, you're at that stage of liver failure and you should stop drinking. But, like, I don't think she was ever getting more sober over time.
No, but it's also like, then you're like, I mean, I guess that's like the whole moral quandary. It's like, then you're sort of like, everyone should be tried with murder because they were like, mother's ascending. Like, no, mother, you gotta die. She's like, I just want to be back.
She wanted that too. Like, then
she did want that, but it's complicated.
The way that they told him, what I love about it is it's like very layered because she, it's really like, you got exactly what you wanted. You got to be the leader of these people. They will do anything you say. And like,
you got to booze it up.
You got to booze it up. You got to party. But then also, you lost so much that, and these people only know you as this one thing. So, like, whatever you say that's against that, yeah, they're not going to believe it. And they want, like, they want you to be this thing. And ultimately, you kind of want that too.
But she also, I think she was conflicted because at the end, she was... The seams were showing, and she was like, damn, I just want my mom. I want my sister, and like, I want my kid. And like, she was, I'm not saying like, I think she wanted to be God, but I also think at the end, like, it just shows you, like, at the end of everyone's life, all they want is like their mom.
Mm-hmm.
And it was sad. And I'm glad her
wants
kids
to be, but like, her mom kind of failed her also in the last days. I mean, she invited her mom out there and her mom did not go. And I thought that was very telling.
I thought that was telling that, yeah, her sister is like, if it were me, I would have gone just to like extract.
Oh, fully. Or just like for morbid curiosity or closure's sake.
Like, I get that her kids didn't want to go. Like, they're innocent. But I think her sister is like young and able enough to like, I would have just been like, okay, I'm coming. You know,
you're not going to get what you want. For someone like that, it's like, that's like too far gone. It's like those intervention episodes, like late stages of like intervention, late in the series when they just started finding people who are past the point of no return. And it's like, you kind of just have to let those people do whatever they want to do.
That's what it was, really. It was just like, it was a rock bottom.
Like, what is she going to do? Her sister's like, you can come here and die. Like, but how fun is that going to be, really? Like, you're going to have, like, there's no saving this person. There's no rerouting the course of their life.
When they were, like, pretending that she was resurrecting, I was like, I literally went, she's back. Like, I was like, maybe she is God.
Honestly,
that makes me think that they're like, the soul is like, when they were holding the like the magnetic stuff.
Yeah,
I
don't get how that was
like,
working.
Is her soul actually like leaving her body? Right. Like, I was very like, this proves it.
In their experience, like, it's very real for them, I believe. Like, I believe that they believe.
Oh, no, 100%. They're all convinced. But I think it was like,
and then it kind of does become real after a minute. Like,
if you believe something enough, it'll become real. But also, like, they were abused by her, and I think it was like an abusive family system, which is what we learned she went through,
yeah,
as a child.
And it was also just people that want to party a lot.
No, I think all that is true, but I think it was like, it was such a great metaphor. It was like an alcoholic family system, and it was what she went through as a kid with her stepmother.
Mm-hmm.
Getting like abused and berated, and she was doing that to her
followers.
I've never seen someone blue before.
I've never seen anything like that documentary.
No, and the music was so good. I want the soundtrack.
Like, carrying a corpse around for days.
The Weekend at Bernie's, her.
They literally did.
She was literally like, they were like, we got to get her going. They crossed state lines. They camped with her for a month. Like, was she starting to
not
smell?
Not a month.
Like, wasn't it like a month?
No, it was like 10 to 12 days.
All right, well, like half a month, 2 weeks.
Yeah, I'm like, what was
this? Was it stinking? Father Maybe. God was just chilling in the tent with her?
I think he fucked her dead body.
I do too.
And I think
I think maybe a few of them did.
I definitely was like, this man has fucked a corpse.
Him and FM did.
FM seems a little more sensitive. Like, I don't know, but maybe. Maybe they tag teamed.
FM's kind of hot.
That's a very much you journey thing that you can reckon with.
All right. All right.
I like Father God.
All right, Keith Raniere.
Yeah, what? That's my, That's I own that. Journey. I stand in my truth. Yeah, you can throw that back in my face. I'd still fuck him.
Damn. Well.
Well.
Let's get into another cult. The cult of Salt Lake City. I'm Carrie.
I'm Lara.
And you're listening to
Sexy Unique Podcast.
Salty Utah Queens. This is a show. This is what happens when you have not one, but five mother gods in one show. Mary is actually Mother God.
She is.
I just have to say right off the bat, she's never looked better than in this episode.
What was that? Her bob was literally, I've never seen an avant-garde bob haircut in my life.
I was like, What are the
there's
angles?
There's a long piece. There's a short piece. It serves different angles from different angles. It's like, what is the haircut?
She was literally like, it was literally giving like art pop.
It's a shapeshifter haircut.
My art bob could mean anything. It was fully like, who is this person?
What are these lengths? Just when you thought you had put your finger and like, nailed what the bob was,
no.
She would turn her head and it would become a new haircut entirely.
Angie has Heather over. Angie looked really good in this moment. Mm-hmm. I was like, I liked the simple, like, she wasn't wearing like Barbarella. And they sort of recap post Pioneer Woman luncheon and talk about Monica and her many personalities.
Heather's realizing that Monica is just Jen Shaw 2.0, and I'm like, okay, yeah. Maybe like, scarier, because she's far more manipulative, and like, she is like, has an ability to mirror people. I think it's like the LD effect. Like, Monica knows how to turn it on and then like relate to people.
She's a charmer.
She's
the way
a charmer.
That Jen was charismatic, but she wasn't. She was so, like, on at all times.
Well, she was a rager. So, like, she would fly off the handle more frequently, and it was, like, more toxic.
Oh, apparently the word is that Jen is getting Elizabeth Holmes in, like, tip-top ab shape in prison. She's, like, coaching her fitness journey. I'm like, who are
it's
these?
It's true, incredible, but I like don't believe that.
I don't either. Who are these sources?
They're probably in like solitary confinement, like begging for food, and like are not allowed to speak to each other.
I mean, Jen is like putting on. She is producing theater in jail,
allegedly.
Yeah, I wonder.
She's probably like rotting in a cage somewhere.
Who are these sources?
I don't know, but I'm like, this says I'm like. We need to get eyes on the prison industrial complex, because they're making it seem like you can go to jail and just like have fun with Jen Shaw and she'll tell you to do 100 sit-ups.
Oh my God. Yeah. This is very like,
this is
the prison. It's propaganda.
I'm not buying this shit at all.
See through it.
They're getting fucking sexually abused in prison and like being fed moldy bread and being locked in like 2x2 foot rooms.
Denied things.
Yeah. Like, I don't think it's like fun. This is like, really, Orange is the New Black? I think so.
People are like, aspirational.
No. I mean, as much as I do wish that were true, I hope that they, like, I pray that they're living, laughing, loving, and, like, getting fucking shredded, but I don't think that that's true.
Yeah, the Jen comparison is pretty
apt.
It's interesting, and I'm happy that Heather's having, like, lucid realizations coming out of her, like, Shaw reverie.
Mm-hmm.
Jen was very Pied Piper with Heather, Heather was very like, she was like, I'll replace the church with Jen Shaw.
I mean, she let Jen like beat her ass and then didn't say a word about it. Remember her black eye?
Yeah, I was traumatized by that.
That was wild.
It was wild, and it was wild that she continued to lie. And
the lie still continues to this day.
Wild Rose and Justin are coming back from therapy, and they're both wearing Gucci.
The Gucci twins.
And
Justin's very congested.
Justin goes, sometimes I'm like, does therapy work or make it worse? I found more clarity with the Marxes and their podcasts than with this therapy. I was like, well, that's all you need to know.
Then things take a horrible turn. The Wild Rose goes, I just got the bad news. And I was like, oh my God, like what's happening?
Diane Warren. Yeah.
And she goes, Sherry's being intubated. And I was like, what the fuck? And then it goes into this whole backstory, which I mean, the whole thing is awful, but I was like, oh my God, are they about to have like a COVID death on this show? Like, I can't take it. And then it was worse. It was a cancer death.
Yeah. I was like, what are the parameters of Sherry's situation? But she's...
It just seems like bad parameters.
She's got cancer.
Yeah.
She goes, it's a helpless villain.
So sad.
She knows death is here. And I was like, God, Whitney,
Whitney's going through it.
Mm-hmm.
She's in like a personal revolution stage, but I'm into it for her because I do think she'll come out the other side and be like much stronger.
She'll come out the other side.
I mean, even her voice becoming normal is a huge
She's less like
step forward.
She's less like regressive.
Yeah, and that's like,
yep,
can often be a sign of like
mm-hmm.
severe abuse. So I'm happy for her. And then I got like a psychic hit when I was watching this, and I was like, I'm actually excited to watch like her and Justin's divorce fallout.
Me too.
Like I was like, oh my God, we're gonna get like seasons of like hopefully a bitter divorce between these two. And then I got like a warm, fuzzy feeling.
Yeah, I like how she was saying the therapist was like, it felt like he was pitting us against each other, shutting me down. I was like, oh, well, you are in Utah. not spared that, even in therapy. Meredith meets Lisa at Toscano, which I want to go so bad.
We've been there.
That was a different one.
Toscanova?
I think it was in Park City. She had to go up steps to get in. We didn't have to go up steps.
Interesting.
We were at like the one in the middle of downtown.
Okay. I didn't know it was a chain, but that explains a lot.
I think there's just various restaurants in SLC called Toscano or Toscanova.
Mm-hmm.
Meredith meets Lisa, and she walks in, and Lisa's waiting at the table, and she goes, Meredith goes, I'm here to meet a woman. And she goes, is this the woman in red over there? And then Meredith goes, yes, the lady in red. There she is.
Meredith is unveiling a new jewelry collection called Plated, and Lisa's A, not impressed, which I love. And Meredith's explaining to her, like, she's like, the jewelry collection is called Plated because it's all plated. And Lisa goes, oh, cool.
Yeah, I was like, good one. Also, their waiter was hot, and Meredith clocked him.
Really?
They were both a little
giddy. Eye-fucking?
Mm-hmm.
Meredith posted on Instagram. I saw, like, it was like the post for Plated, and it had the creative direction was insane.
Mm.
But I thought that the model was supposed to be Meredith, and I was taken aback, but for a quick moment.
You're
and
like,
then I realized, like, oh no, she just like cast a model and had a shoot for this like collection of Plated.
Meredith is also hinting that she's in like chronic pain. She's
How
like,
so?
She was saying, my joints, I'm going through a lot, I'm feeling pain and my aches. I was like, uh-oh.
You know what can cause a lot of inflammation is plastic surgery.
That's true.
And like plastic surgery recovery mm-hmm. can cause a lot of inflammatory flare-ups, just saying.
Meredith confronts Lisa about telling Whitney that Meredith was threatening Angie.
Yeah, Lisa doesn't want Meredith to threaten people and say things like, I could ruin their life.
And Meredith goes the very attorney route. She goes, Yes, of course I could ruin someone's life. You could ruin someone's life. Anyone on earth could ruin someone's life. I'm like, okay.
That's, it's like, that's not where I would have taken this.
Yeah. And she goes, and you were saying the same things about Monica. And Lisa goes, no, I was just saying there was like a lot of low hanging fruit with Monica where I could just troll her about, like, AKA, like, her life is shitty.
Yeah.
And she goes, that's just truth. And Meredith goes, well, that's the same thing of what I was saying. I wasn't threatening anyone. I could say you're threatening Monica.
I'm not clear on Sweeney Marks.
I did like when she was like, Monica's a bitch, but Meredith is deceptive.
Yeah, I'd rather take like a bitch over a deceiver any day, or like someone who makes those kinds of threats. Mm. I find to be really calculated and creepy. I'm like, if you're gonna fucking say it, then just say it. Don't sit here and lord things over people and make them like you're trying to like make people live in fear of you. And I think that that's disgusting.
I do like that anytime that's the sort of thing about Meredith is brought up, they graciously give us, or generously give us, the clip of her saying rumors and nastiness.
Oh, you know that about the husband? The rumors and the nastiness. She's Liza Minnelli.
She is.
Mary is at home having a lovely slice of carrot cake.
And wait, Monica before that, comes over. Meredith tells Lisa, she goes, let me be clear. I am not the one bringing the tornado through. And I went, what? And Lisa literally goes, okay. I was like, what are you talking about? What are you talking about?
Sometimes I'm like, she's back. Like, Meredith is back with us. And then her, like, pills kick in. And she said something so completely off the wall. I'm like, she's gone once again.
Yeah. I'm
not the one bringing the tornado through.
It's a twister of not my making.
Mary... Yeah, I don't. But do you think she's even, like, cognizant of when she says... Maybe she doesn't remember making, like... threats.
I think in that case with Angie, she was absolutely blackout drunk. Like, that was, she was fucking wasted that night. And she sort of has admitted to that. I don't think she knew what she was talking about. I think she was saying something almost in like drunk psychosis. And now knows that what she said in that state was like kind of bad and sounded really shitty. So now she's like, she's going into like a denial that goes beyond just like, oh, I don't know what I was saying. I was drunk.
She's very interesting because you sometimes think that she like knows what's going on, and then she acts in a way that is like so opposite that.
Well, she's a great lawyer. She's just...
Is she a great lawyer?
Because lawyers have to pretend like they know what's going on too. And have to, like, play the game. And, like, it's a lot of performing and pretending.
But
and...
she does only up to... Like, she plays the game, like, 10 to 15% where you're like, okay. And then the way that she handles a situation is so piss poor that you're like, don't you understand that you look insane right now? Like, she doesn't... She comes across like a crazy person.
Yeah, well, that's probably why she switched to jewelry.
Yeah.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Nothing gives me naked confidence like being freshly showered, hair blown out, makeup on, putting on my favorite perfume.
Nothing gives me naked confidence quite like getting my parking validated at Equinox after a well-earned workout.
A very close second would be Lumi Whole Body Deodorant. Unlike certain other deos, Lumi is powered by mandelic acid to deliver outrageous 72-hour odor control everywhere, from your pits to your feet.
And yes, even your privates. In fact, it was patients' concerns about private part odor that originally inspired the OBGYN who invented Lumi.
Flash forward 6 years and her game-changing whole body Dio has earned over 300,000 five-star reviews from people who love feeling confident from head to toe.
New customers get $5 off Lumi's starter pack with code SUP at LumiDeodorant.com. I love Lumi because as a gay man, you need to have your taint smelling fresh as fuck. So with one roll of Lumi, I'm ready to get out there and own the world.
What I love most about Lumi is that it's multi-purpose. It saves its customers money because you're not buying all these different products for different body parts. You can just boil it all down to one super product that takes care of any of your odor issues.
Whole body deodorant with Lumi, seriously safe to use anywhere on your body. Your pits, your underboobs, thigh folds, belly buttons, butt cracks, vulvas, and feet.
It's clinically proven to block odor all day and control over up to 72 hours.
And it's baking soda free and paraben free.
Plus, it's pH balanced for safe use below the belt.
Lumi's starter pack is perfect for new customers. It comes with a solid stick deodorant, cream tube deodorant, two free products of your choice like mini body wash and deodorant wipes, and free shipping.
As a special offer for listeners, new customers get $5 off a Lumi starter pack with the code SUP at LumiDeodorant.com. That equates to over 40% off your starter pack when you visit LumiDeodorant.com and use the code SUP.
Sibling fights are unavoidable, but what if every fight you had was under a microscope on a global scale? That's the reality for brothers Prince William and Prince Harry. They were each other's closest friends and allies since the death of their mother, Princess Diana. But that all began to crack as they married and took wildly different approaches to their royal duties.
Wondery's podcast, Disintel, is hosted by comedians Sydney Battle and Matt Bellassai. Each episode unpacks one of pop culture's most iconic celebrity feuds, and they recently took a deeper look into the real reason William versus Harry started.
It's actually much bigger than these two brothers, stretching back into the history of the British monarchy. Did their feud start with the royal family's mistreatment of Meghan Markle, or was it something that started much earlier?
Follow Disintel on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Are you ready to win Mother's Day and cement your reputation as the best gift giver in the family? Give the moms in your life an Aura digital picture frame preloaded with decades of family photos, and you will rise to the top of the heap, and you will be deified and worshipped for the rest of your days walking this planet.
Because as anyone who has siblings know, that's the only goal on Mother's Day is to be the favorite.
And if you're an only child, you're still competing with all your other extended family members, and it's important to wage a war and come out on top.
If you're an only child, you're also at war with yourself.
So what you can do is get your mother or the preeminent mother figure in your life an Aura frame. You load it up with photos. It's literally the easiest thing to do. And I know that you might be thinking, ew, digital frames are bleak, but I'm telling you, this Aura frame is chic.
And the best part is it has unlimited storage and an easy-to-use app, so you can keep updating your mother or mother figure's frame with new photos. So it's the gift that keeps on giving and uploading.
I gave my mom an Aura frame, and she had resisted for so long because she's truly anti-technology, like barely even understands right. How to FaceTime. And I said, just let me. And I set it all up for her. I plugged it in. I fired up the app. I preloaded pictures on it, and now she's so into it that she figured out how to preload pictures and even runs it from her app, which is truly saying a lot because she refuses to download apps. She thinks everyone's spying on her, stealing her data, and the fact that I was able to break through and she literally loves this frame, like loaded it up with pictures of her cat, I was like, we did it, Joe. Right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off, plus free shipping on their best-selling frame.
That's AuraFrames.com. Use code SUP at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply. Yeah, Mary has Monica over, which I thought was strange and I loved.
They're good together. They belong together.
I saw Mary being interviewed by Teddy Mellencamp on some red carpet, and she hinted that she's part of a new duo.
Who?
Mary was talking about Monica, I think. She didn't say her name. She goes, you'll just have to watch the reunion, but you see it.
They have good energy. Like, they make the most sense together of anyone. I think that Monica needs like an abusive mother figure and Mary can be that for her. And then Mary needs a follower so Monica can be that for her. So I think that they could have a magical friendship.
Monica goes, wow, I've never been in this neighborhood. And Mary goes, I've been here 21 years. I was like,
imagine being Mary's neighbor, like a longtime neighbor of Mary.
She's probably said two words to you in two decades.
She's positively girlish with this wig.
Mm-hmm.
I was like pausing the TV, trying to really understand the architecture of the haircut.
I loved it.
Me too.
I want her to wear that every day.
It was like a style icon moment.
She offers Monica cake and Monica eats it and goes, oh, this is so, she's so kissing. I just love it. She goes, oh, this is so good. Did you bake it? And Mary goes, no, I didn't bake it.
Bought it.
I bought it. I don't bake.
It's amazing.
She goes, you think I bake in this?
I want to watch them. Like, I could watch like Mary and Monica take Manhattan.
They should go on a road trip.
They should go on a road trip together. Pawn them off on each other and let them get into like hijinks.
I do love that Mary, like, this is like a natural progression from like that other scene when Monica was like, ooh, pizza sounds like a good idea, and Mary went, get your own. And Mary and she went, okay, yes. Like, she's so subservient and like it's just perfect. They're like soulmates. And Mary does give her some good advice.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, you just have to accept Lisa for who she is. And Monica's like, okay, you're right. And Mary's like, you know, all her advice always comes with some unhinged tinges, but she is right. She's just saying, like, you gotta just, like,
you have to let Lisa be Lisa. You're not gonna change the Queen of Sundance.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no point in trying. You can only change yourself.
And then we cut to her. She's like, you can't have grudges. And then we cut to, grow up, little girl. I love it.
Why does she hate Whitney so much? She just always has.
You called me a pornographer. Pornography. Mm-hmm. I think she just is triggered by her. Some people just get under someone's skin. I think she's annoyed by Whitney.
Fair.
I think there's a part of her that's like intrigued by her, but also hates her. Do you know
maybe
what I mean?
Maybe it's also, this is true armchair psychology, but the like childhood abuse,
mm-hmm.
like I feel like they probably have common ground.
They see something in each other.
Mary probably sees something in Whitney.
You mean when she was a child bride?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's like, sometimes you just hate people that have a similar experience to you because it reminds you of like your worst life moments or like a worse version of yourself.
Literally, there was a guy in college who was openly mean to me. He was in my circle. And then the last night of graduation before we all left campus, like it was the night after, he pulled me into his room and said, I'm gay. And I said, okay, I know that. And he goes, that's why I've been mean to you. And I was like, I knew that too. But it was like, it was almost comical because it was like, damn, all right.
Yeah.
A lot of wasted time, but.
He was the Mary to your Whitney.
Mm-hmm. Sherry passes and Whitney says that she's still going to go to Meredith's jewelry event. She goes, Sherry would go. She goes, I was like, wait. So
the way that Whitney started putting a lot of words in Sherry's mouth, I was like, Wild Rose. She goes, Sherry would really want me to go to the party and support my friends. And then they're at the party and Whitney's like, I don't know whether or not I'm going to drink today. Should I? And then someone's like, sure, do it. And she goes, you're right. Sherry would want me to have a drink. I was like, okay. Like,
Sherry's now her.
Like, let's not go there.
Sherry's her, like, Robin Williams galactic. Robin wants me to drink, so I'm going to drink.
Her Jermaine.
Yeah.
Jermaine is one of my favorites that gets, like, pulled into the mix.
Who's Jermaine?
Jermaine, one of the Galactics.
Oh, right.
It was Robin and Jermaine.
Robin was all over her.
But Robin was the one.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think his family thinks of this? They need to know. They must know.
I'll look up his daughter. I think his daughter follows me.
Well.
I'll reach out to her.
Be like.
What's going on?
What do you make of this? Yeah. Do you think Robin got in touch with them?
Probably just feels bad. Lisa takes Jack to Modern Mormon Menswear, which I'm like, I must go there.
They had some sharp looking clothes.
Mm-hmm.
Then it's a good business idea.
I had a moment where I was like, I've been annoyed at Jack's ungrateful ass for this season. But in this moment, I realized that he really does love his mom.
Yeah, he's just a surly teen. I had a moment where I was like, I actually like can't get over the fact that he's willingly going on a 2-year-long mission.
To spiritually colonize people?
I don't understand what that is about.
No.
It's like not fun or chic.
Yeah.
Like, it would be one thing if, you know, you're going to like a silent retreat somewhere, or like you go to like become enlightened by like someone else's religion.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like joining Mother God, the cult for 2 years would be more interesting to me. I would rather do that than like go on a Mormon mission. But like, I also just can't imagine feeling so called to like serve a God that I'm like, I'm going to give up 2 years of my life to go like tell people about this thing.
And he's been radicalized.
But is there some sort, like, is this just a thing that like teenagers do because they get to like low key fuck and suck and party the whole time?
I don't know. Anyone who's been on a mission, let us know how it really goes down.
Because then I had a feeling where he's like, he's just looking for something to get himself out of a rut. Because there was something where he said, he was like, when I come back, I'll feel like more grateful for like the stuff that you guys give me, or like happier about the state of my life. And I was like, okay, like I, that's like relatable, being like disillusioned with your life and then feeling like, okay, I have to go like do something radical to pull myself out of this so that I'm more grateful on the other side.
I think he's like, I need to get away from my mom. I think he loves her, but he feels like very smothered by Lisa and controlled. Which isn't, I think that's what he's telling himself. He's like, I need to get away and be my own man kind of thing. And I think, I'm sure he's been like brainwashed a little.
Yeah, I just don't see what's like the fun draw.
I did want a young Lisa origin story, because he says, I mean, look what you were doing when you were 18. You said you were getting in limos with Russian mobsters. And Lisa goes, I was like, where's this story?
Add it to the young reboot list.
Lisa at Tunnel.
Young Fuki. And then once that blows up, young Lisa.
Lisa was like a club kid. She was like at Tunnel and like hanging out with like Russian mobsters.
Like cocaine in the club energy.
Mm-hmm. Monica meets Heather at a bar before Plated. And she brings a box of something, booze. And she apologizes to Heather about how she sort of ruined the entire luncheon, and how she ruined the surprise of Bermuda, and she was a Debbie Downer, and she's completely changed her whole... It's freaky.
This was when I was like, she is LD's daughter through and through.
She sits down and she goes, so I won't be going to Bermuda. And then Heather goes, okay.
Barbados?
Bermuda.
Mm.
She goes, I won't be going to Bermuda. And Heather goes, okay. And she goes, I'm just kidding. And Heather was like, oh, fuck.
Yeah, and they're like, okay, we're going to go on this trip.
She's so sweet and gracious and humble. And
she's too sweet. I don't trust it.
And she's talking about like how much Bermuda is going to mean to her to reconnect with her family. And she's just buttering Heather up. And she's like, I'm so sorry about everything. And so Heather, of course, is like believing it because this is what she does. And then we cut to the Marks family getting out of the car. And it's like the slowest exit I've ever seen. There's Brooks, Seth, and Meredith. It positively spill out of a car.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Whitney shows up to Meredith's party and goes right for Meredith. And then she's like, Sherry passed. But everyone's very like sweet with Whitney.
Yeah, Meredith gives her a big hug. Meredith, of course, loves to jump at a chance to grieve. So she's genuinely like, I'm so sorry.
She's like the perfect person to go to when you're like racked with grief.
Whitney goes, I don't want to put a rain cloud over your event. And she goes, never.
Yeah. And that's when Whitney is like, I don't know if I should drink. What should I do? And then she goes, Sherry would want me to. And I was like, here we go.
Mm-hmm. The Galactics are weighing in.
Yeah.
Heather makes a beeline for Whitney when she walks in with Monica, and she immediately hugs her and is apologizing. She knows about Sherry. And Whitney's so stiff with Heather. It's very strange. What's going on?
Did you ever get Did you watch the like finale or figure out why they hated each other?
It's because of that. I think it's because of that falling out they had with when they got into that fight when they went on that trip, Jen's last girls trip.
Oh, because it was because Heather was like not being honest.
She was like, you were with me when they told us that Barlow was blowing people for jazz tickets.
Oh, the one. Yeah.
I think it was like a mounting thing. I think they just had tension. And I think my dark theory is that Whitney's like, Heather has stolen my identity. Like, I am the bad Mormon of the family. And Heather, here is my cousin taking my valor.
Yeah, stolen bad Mormon valor.
And she's sort of like, I'm actually like the one who like,
a really good theory.
I had an affair. I like rocked the community. I was like sneaking under office desks. Like I ruined my family and he ruined his. And I wrote a letter excommunicating myself. I like body paint.
Like I've like gotten out of the church. I'm like working through like childhood trauma. I'm like really, I'm the baddest Mormon here.
And here you are writing a book and like saying you're out of the church, but you're still like basically espousing like you're fixated on it still. And Whitney's, I think she's just over Heather.
Yeah.
She goes, just compartmentalize. You can do it. I was like, kind of good advice.
It's a girl boss advice.
Meredith has a speech where she's like lit up with a screen behind her and it was very De Palma.
Mm-hmm. Her speech was wild to me.
I want to thank Seth for supporting me through this whole process.
His like, oh, shucks, who, me act? I was like, ooh. Yeah, I was like, God, you guys, like, I want you to stay fuckable in my mind, but you're making it difficult.
Thank you to Seth for inspiring me to keep going with Plated.
I guess, like, is any other housewife doing jewelry? Ramona had
Kelly Benson.
She has a jewelry line.
Remember, she was making the owl jewelry? I don't know if she still does it, but.
I guess Ramona had some jewelry, but it wasn't.
Oh, yeah,
like...
she had religious jewelry.
Yeah.
I
guess smart. I just don't know who's like buying this. I'm sure a lot of people are, but I'm like, who though?
Show yourselves.
No one that I want to know.
Yeah. Monica and Lisa make up.
Monica, this was when I was truly crouching in horror at her entire apology and then like her being like so engaged with I was like, this is disingenuous. I don't trust it at all.
But I think Lisa got that and was sort of playing along a little. Mm-hmm. She goes, you've gone through some trauma from what I understand. I was like, I'm obsessed with you. And then Monica gives the girlies all a bottle of rum, I think, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
like donuts.
It's Bermuda pastries and rum. She's like, this is what I should have done at the luncheon. This trip is very important to me. My great-grandparents like helped build up Bermuda. And my grandmother was born there. So it's like very important to me and my Portuguese heritage in Bermuda. And I still have uncles and aunts there. So this is going to be a big like trip for me.
Wow.
I was like, damn.
I was like, wow, she's really getting a lot of like screen time over this Bermuda trip.
And then... Whitney seeks comfort from Brooks first, who is like crying.
I was like, the two of them could make magic together.
Yeah, I think they'd have fun. I think Whitney is like, I love this guy.
I know. They seem like very, like, I was like, what's their relationship like?
To me, out of all the women, maybe Meredith because of Brooks, but I feel like Whitney's the one that actually is like friends with gay people and doesn't just like keep them around as like pets.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think, like, I kind of feel like Heather has that vibe a little. No? I think Whitney's, like, genuinely a fat guy.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
You know how, like, there's a lot of housewives that, like, keep, especially in areas, like, that aren't as, like...
Or who are like, I love the gays. But, like, when it comes to, like, day-to-day, like, they're not, like, texting gay people.
No, I think Whitney's, like, in the weeds with the gays.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think she and Brooks, like, have a connection.
Yeah. I'm liking Whitney more and more.
Me too.
I like this stripped down Wild Rose. And
I love the Wild Rose.
I like the evolution. of working, like being one way and then like dismantling everything and kind of losing everything and being like emotionally raw and then rebuilding is a very,
that's appealing.
I think it's also a very like late 30s or in your 30s kind of struggle.
I like that she is, I love her boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
She seems to have like gotten, like from what I've seen as the seasons, like her boundaries are getting clearer and clearer. And I like that she doesn't really pretend, like if she doesn't really, if she's not really vibing with someone, she really won't like pretend. Like she's not vibing with Heather.
Mm-hmm.
And she's not pretending to be like, you know what I mean? Like she's sort of just like, okay. I just like, it's a very appealing to me.
Yeah.
I'd be friends with her.
I think I would too.
And then Whitney goes beelines for Lisa because she and Lisa have like forged a friendship this season. And she's like, why did you go immediately to Heather and like give her a gift and be excited and then like not tell me that you're sorry about my friend dying? Why aren't you comforting me? I texted you this morning. Like I'm here right now. We're friends. We're like actually friends. And she basically was like, you're not friends with Heather. Like, you're friends with me.
Yeah. Lisa, once again, continues to fascinate. Because I'm like, she comes across badly in this moment. Like, lacking empathy. Like, not understanding, like, how to be there for a friend in their time of grief. But I also am like, there's something really relatable about that.
Well, Whitney tells her what happened. And then she goes, no, that's not what happened. And then she goes, I'm a good person. I'm not a bad person. And I'm like, oh my God, I relate to that. I think Lisa was a little girl in that moment.
Well, also it's like she doesn't want to get like aired out. I think there's a Lisa Barlow that exists when the cameras are off that is like friendly and has empathy and like blah, blah, blah. But then there's the Lisa Barlow who's like performing for the cameras and just trying to like keep up appearances for the sake of being on a TV show. And that's where it gets crossed wires because like for the sake of a TV show, you're going to be like, oh, Heather, oh my God, like here you go, like blah, blah, blah. And like maybe you feel, this is projecting, but I'm like, maybe you just feel like, oh, our friendship that's happening like off camera is like, I don't want to have that moment of like comforting my friend on camera. Like I'd rather do that off camera because that's like our truest relationship. So maybe it feels disingenuous to her to like comfort someone like that.
I also think that maybe Lisa's just someone that has a hard time knowing what to say in the face of death.
Yeah.
I think she probably has.
I don't know what to say.
Yeah.
And then also she's like terrified of being called out or perceived as being like a bad person, but her actions make her seem like that.
Of Lisa as a child and her mom going, you're a bad, bad girl. And Lisa going, no, I'm a good girl. I'm a good girl. No, I'm a good girl. I'm a good person.
No, mother, I'm
no,
great.
No, mother.
Mother, I don't love that.
I don't love that, mother. I'm actually, you love me. You love that. Not that.
Her going, your friend died. Are you okay?
I think Whitney,
I'm like, Wild Rose, come on.
I think she was a little drunk and I think she just needed someone to yell at because she was upset.
Yeah.
And I think,
and she can't yell at Heather, so.
Because Heather and her don't have the same, Heather will use it against her somehow.
I think it is interesting. I think Lisa could have played the game a little bit better and been like more comforting.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think it is an interesting point that like part of the reason Whitney is mad is because she went to Heather and like did that first.
Yeah.
I can't keep a mental calculator of everything that's going on.
I've got a lot going on. My son's leaving. I love it.
I just continue to be obsessed with her.
She's the enigma.
And I like her yelling at the entire crew.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, mic's off. Don't even come near me with that. Do not put that on me again. Did you see like scenes from next week?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love
when she flips out.
I love this new, it happens in all reality shows now that people are now, take this off. Get this off me. I'm leaving. Don't come near me. It's incredible. I continue to think this is the really the MVP of the whole franchise.
Yeah, they're really doing something fantastic on this show.
They're doing what Robich wishes they were doing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry to the people who want us to...
Yeah, Ness, you can cut that.
Okay. Should we do a cult shout out?
Yeah. Sarah Elizabeth.
Sarah Elizabeth.
Lucy from London.
Lucy from London.
Brooke Johansson.
Brooke Johansson.
Brittany Ryan Weiss.
Brittany Ryan Weiss.
Danielle McMillan.
McMillan.
Lady Swamp Witch gives no fucks. Lazara.
Lazara.
Mazatov.
Mazatov.
Mary.
Mary.
Eliza Twaddle.
Eliza Twaddle.
Maisie McKierney.
Maisie McKierney.
Mike Earhart.
Earhart.
Carrie Oakes.
Carrie Oakes.
Sharon Baum.
Realtor.
Courtney Kesselman.
Kesselman.
Owsley.
Owsley.
Mariah Kay. Kathy West.
West.
Rochelle Martino.
Rochelle Martino.
Kit Moore.
Kit Moore.
Hillary.
Hillary.
Orlando.
Orlando.
Nick Sedaris.
Nick Sedaris.
Emily.
Emily.
Kim Lucas.
Lucas. And Jeffrey Pradama. Pradama. Pradama.
Guys, thank you so much for watching on YouTube. And if you don't know,
our YouTube
now you
channel?
Know that our YouTube channel, Sexy Unique Podcast on YouTube, is popping off. You can see every episode live, I guess, on there. And this week we're not releasing a Beverly Hills episode, but stay tuned while we
deliberate,
figure some things out.
Ta-ta.
Bye. Sexy Unique Podcast is created and hosted by me, Lara Marie Shane Halls. This episode was co-hosted by the one and only Carrie O'Donnell. This episode was edited by Ness Smith-Savadoff. If you like what you heard today, please be sure to subscribe to Sexy Unique Podcast on Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts. And if you're craving more sup and just can't get enough and want access to things like bonus episodes, tons of premium content, as well as ad-free episodes of the pod, consider supporting the podcast on Patreon. You can find out more at patreon.com/sexyuniquepodcast.
The weather's getting warmer, so it's time to say goodbye to my jackets and sweaters and hello to shorts and tees. I wanted to update my wardrobe for the long haul summertime without spending a fortune. Luckily, I found Quince. Now I've got a lineup of timeless pieces that keep me looking effortlessly chic and comfy year after year.
Quince has it all, like premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30, washable silk tops, timeless 14-karat gold jewelry, and so much more.
The best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us.
And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I love that.
As you know, I've been on my fitness journey in 2024, so I'm getting into athleisure wear a lot. I have Quince long sleeve shirts, shorts, t-shirts. I wear it to the gym. I wear it out. I wear it to Whole Foods. I wear it to 7-Eleven to buy my Diet Cokes. I'm wearing it all over town.
And people are noticing.
People are fucking noticing.
Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/sexyunique for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/sexyunique to get free shipping and 365-day returns.
quince.com/sexyunique.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.